You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson. AfterBuzz TV.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Mad Men After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Mad Men After Show.
Nice.
Nice.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bing is for doing, and we are doing another AfterBuzz TV podcast, Mad Men Season 5, Episode 5, entitled Far Away Places. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined on the panel this evening by the lovely and talented Catherine Tulich.
Thank you.
And, of course, the talented and ever so wonderfully, I can't say lovely, Josh Gardner.
Looking very Mad Men.
Well, thank you very much.
And no, as always, in the booth producing is producer extraordinary Phil Svitek.
Welcome, everybody. Yay. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be here. John wasn't here last week.
Yes.
But
Good to be back.
He is here. Kevin couldn't make it tonight.
Well, we might get him to call in. We don't know, but that's okay. He'll probably be here next week. We wish him well with what he's doing.
Right.
Far Away Places. Clearly Far Away Places in many ways. In fact, we all had different kinds of feelings for the themes on this. Why don't we talk real quick about the, how we
the experience?
View this.
Yeah.
All the wild, strange trip.
Oh, yeah. This is some wild stuff tonight.
By the way, Catherine,
tonight.
you dressed very appropriately.
I didn't even know it was going to happen
tonight.
Yeah,
and I must have intuitively
dressed appropriately.
Clearly. So, but you had an interesting take on the three particular storylines and how you felt about them. Why don't you go ahead and start with that? We'll talk about that.
Sure. Well, I felt, you know, tonight was all about the fact that there was three women's stories very strongly in this, even though Roger and Don obviously played a major part in this. But the first story was obviously about Peggy and her struggles again with how to live in a man's world. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'll just go through them briefly.
Sure,
And then obviously we have the Roger and Jane story. And I think Jane, to me, represented the old-fashioned woman who really is powerless and really doesn't really know how to deal with her life and with her marriage.
And doesn't even understand that power thing.
Exactly. And then I felt for me the final story about with Don and Megan is that Megan is basically a modern woman in a marriage and also trying to carve a career. And in some ways, she's kind of almost the balance in a way between what Peggy's experiencing, because Peggy really
She's trying to do them both.
Yeah. She's
being a wife and a business.
Yeah. And has a loving husband that, you know, is trying to struggle with the fact that, you know, he wants an old-fashioned wife. Mm-hmm. She wants to be a modern wife. And is also struggling with the fact that she wants a career like Peggy.
Sure.
And so she is kind of, to me, representing the modern woman. Peggy is in a way stuck in that struggle of the 60s of do I just be a career woman? Mm-hmm. I can't also have relationships. Jane is still caught in that fact that, you know, she's still very much an old-fashioned woman, even though she's young.
Right.
She hasn't learned her power
yet. She's following
yet.
That more. Josh, you had a different take on that.
I think the whole episode was summed up perfectly by Cooper's statement of Don being on love leave. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, affects everyone, Peggy, Roger, and Don, all three of them. I can definitely see where you're coming from with the very female-heavy, but I see the things that stood out mostly to me personally was the tie with Roger and Roger and Jane, and the sense that at that dinner and when he went with her, he almost felt like, I mean, for last season and ever since he was married to her, she's been kind of the trophy wife that he's shopped around everywhere, takes out to parties. And this is one of the few times that you've actually seen her take him out to a party where he doesn't want to be to. So I think of that as like he sees himself as this trophy husband. And after the first episode where he basically just tells her to shut up in bed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's treated her mostly like an object ever since she's been married to him.
Yeah.
So that, and then with Don, I see a lot of father trying to deal with a child kind of scenario, mm-hmm. especially with him trying to almost take her out for a treat. Like, oh, right. you want some ice cream? You've yeah. never had sherbet? Come
because
on, let's
of the
have
age
some ice
difference
cream.
In that.
Yeah. So you see yeah. that, and then...
wanting to act like a little good little girl.
And they, yeah. just, they both act like children.
Yeah. yeah.
At
yeah.
some
and
point
then,
they did that.
And then you see Peggy. I mean, Peggy essentially is just fighting really to keep her job. That is the thing that drives her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know... Personally, I think there's a reason why they don't really focus on her love life. It's essentially because she doesn't have one.
Well, that's she's, the whole you know, point, yeah. yeah.
She doesn't know how
she
to
makes,
make
yeah, yeah, she makes an attachment, but kind of like Dawn, she doesn't really know how to no. maintain one.
No. And in yeah. fact, is quite masculine in her attachments.
Sure.
The way that first,
well, there was that,
that
complete role reversal.
Kind of
yeah.
role
yeah.
reversal,
you
know.
You sound like my dad. I mean, yeah. you actually said that.
Exactly.
Yeah. She was the one that's preoccupied. She's the one that doesn't want to kind of stay in bed
and
cuddle.
And he was acting like, you just call me when you need me.
Exactly, yeah. He was the girl. It was hilarious.
Yeah, it was very funny.
yeah.
But then with, funny. And with Peggy, yeah. I mean, all three of them with this whole idea of being on love leave, all mm. three of them, Cooper points out immediately in like the last 5 minutes of
yeah,
the episode,
mm-hmm.
basically says, you've been on love leave. Your whole team
yeah.
has been working. But then essentially his team leader, Peggy, hasn't been working. Yeah. Roger certainly hasn't been working. And Don has been away trying to make things
absent.
Work with his wife. They've
yeah.
all right. been absent in their own work.
Yeah.
So you see Cooper at the beginning of the show saying, everyone has somewhere to go to today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that doesn't seem to be work.
Exactly. And that's where I think the faraway places comes in. And then they use the great, for me, I was looking at, you know, Born Free, it's shot in Africa, talking mm-hmm. about the concentration camps. And she, for me, Peggy's storyline with the faraway place, for me, that was just how lonely and isolated she felt trying to do this and not being able to make it work and not being able to connect with anybody.
You see her trying to make that connection with
exactly,
with Ginsburg.
Boyfriend and Ginsburg
with
as
Ginsburg
well.
With Ginsburg in the yeah. office trying and, to talk about his father.
And he talks about Mars.
Yeah.
So how
well, this
how,
is how
far
disconnect-
away are you going to get?
This I mean, is how disconnected he
exactly.
feels.
Exactly. I thought
yeah.
it was about disconnection. And then, of yeah. course, when we go to the Roger and Jane story, they actually have a faraway yeah. trip.
really
so,
far away.
So, I mean, there's a trip there. And then Don and Megan go out of town. I mean, they're
yeah.
all this thing. And it's so funny because they have to go away to try to make a connection.
Yeah.
Which I
yeah.
thought was interesting how they, yeah. they use that as a device
mm-hmm.
to try to bring some people together. I mean, there's even Don and Megan at the end of it, by the end of it, they're trying to
yeah.
connect.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they had to go away to get that. Phil, did you have any kind of take on the overall?
Well, my overall is it's reminding people a lot of Pulp Fiction, you
right.
know, and obviously okay. the way, just in the structure of the story
the
itself.
Which I don't think Mad Men's ever done before.
No,
it's,
no.
it's very Rashomon. I mean,
yeah.
you see
yeah,
the
it's
whole
always
thing from different,
very
different perspectives. Yeah.
yeah, ever since
very
season
linear,
one.
Yeah. This mm-hmm.
and
I
thought
it was
really interesting,
interesting,
too, to jump on that just because we had mm. the whole LSD trip, which allowed us... You know, once you did
so
the
we're
LSD,
all on the trip.
We just going okay. You know, it's kind of like the writer said, hey, let's do
yeah.
it's the '60s. Let's do an LSD. Let's do something we've never done.
I wonder how much research the writers
exactly,
did with
so.
The LSD.
so, and you know, I thought that was quite effective.
I think the yeah. biggest kick I got out of this episode was when Roger went to pour himself a
drink.
Oh,
that was the best.
And he pulled the top
stoli.
Off the,
and the music
off the
goes crazy.
And the music goes out, and he just yeah. he chuckles and moves on.
Yeah, he's like, so he's almost like nonplussed about it. He's just like.
Not,
oh, yeah.
And not that I was expecting...
That is
yeah.
the coolest LSD trip I've
yeah.
ever seen.
Not that
Come
I was
on,
expecting a semi-formal acid trip party.
Yeah.
but just to see Peggy in the theater and then,
yeah.
you know, sure, why not? I'll take a joint. Sure, why not? Sit next to me.
Yeah.
After that whole scene happened, I stopped like, I don't know what's going to happen
yeah.
in the rest of this
yeah.
episode, but it's going to be interesting.
Well, since we did that, let's get into the Peggy storyline real quick.
Okay.
Let's start there. And, you know, I thought that as we were watching, I'm going, wow, they are really heavy on Peggy today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was so fascinating to me. I mean, especially we started out, we've already talked about the role reversal thing, and that was a great scene just because,
yeah.
wow, they are really hitting this hard right now that yeah. the roles have reversed. She's clearly trying to do it in a man's world like a man
yeah.
almost. And so what was your take on the whole – because I thought,
but,
you know,
yeah.
I was the boyfriend. I wanted to slap him and go, shut up.
Yeah.
Quit being so whiny.
Well, it was also that whole tension of, you know, she had a big presentation that
right.
day, you know, and, you know, I just also that whole interesting thing with the fact that, you know, when she was presenting to
yeah.
this Heinz, she was pitching the Heinz thing and she got so aggro.
And wasn't it great? Because here it is that she's expecting Don to have her
yeah.
back and be there because
he wasn't
there last time.
Yeah.
And then he, again, he's
yes.
in absentia.
Mm-hmm.
He's
yeah.
not there.
Yeah.
And so now, and since the nature abhors a vacuum, he's not there. So who steps up to take the place that he would normally do, where he would make
yeah.
the hard sell and tell the person that they're pitching to, no, you want this? Yeah. She does it. She tries it as best she can.
But first of all, she has that antagonism again of being a woman.
Because she's a woman.
You see that. And part of me thinks that with the constant pitches, this whole season they've been pitching to Hines.
Right.
Yeah. Her whole that team has been pitching to Hines. And every time they pitch it, it's mostly Peggy.
Right.
Well, Peggy's doing a lot of the pitching, and every time they say it, they blow it off. So this time when it's just her doing the pitch and he does it again, you can see her kind of flare up, just like Don would.
Yeah, exactly.
Except it comes out, I think the way it comes out in this episode, it comes out more like, why are you doing this to me?
Yeah, it was personal rather
exactly.
than... She wasn't really trying to win the pitch so much.
So
you can see how she failed. She was misplaced anger. She was pissed at Don for not being there. Mm-hmm. She just wanted him to be there.
Yeah.
And that leads to the whole thing about.
And I just want that line that I thought was after that.
Go ahead.
Which one?
Because she's quite antagonistic to their client, and he can't understand that because she's a woman.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And the line was, "Women usually want to please."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, like she's not behaving like she should.
And the whole thing. Well, you're lucky I have a daughter.
So demeaning. Oh my god.
And you've seen her in this anger before, but you haven't seen her express it to anyone.
No, she's never been.
The only other time she's expressed it was when I think it was last season when Don was pitching to Life, where it was like, you know, America's Better Breakfast. It was some kind of horrible pitch that he stole when he was drunk pitching it last season. And the only time she got upset and actually got very vocal towards him was when she finally found him at his apartment and told him, you know, you pitched this idea that's not yours. And like, she's never done it in public in the office, let alone in front of a client.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a great character beat for her to go at him like that. I thought that was wonderful. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you know, misguided as it might have been, I thought it was right to do it. The way she did it, maybe not so good, but I'm glad she did.
But unfortunately, the result was that she's taken off the account. I was hoping the result was that they would accept her.
Yeah,
but they didn't go that way.
But I think that's one of the reasons
why interesting thing for me is, you know, her boyfriend says, oh, you're always so quick to just push the button on this. Mm. And, you know, that's what she's kind of been around is, especially with the Hines guy, you know, he's just pushing that button of no, no, no. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting how she actually shares that quality.
Yeah, right.
But this is what I like. The line I love from the Hines guy was, "Stop writing down what I asked for and figure out what I want."
Yeah,
and that sounded a lot like, "If you don't know why I'm mad, I'm not going to tell you."
Yeah, I know.
Which eventually leads to. That's why I think she gives the guy the handsky. She finally figures out what he really wanted.
This is the other thing that was interesting about Peggy.
That's right.
So, you know, clearly making the parallels about, you know, how her taking the job, quote, in a man's world and taking a man's job. When it doesn't work out, she gets taken off the job. She takes a drink. That's not doing it for her. She goes, she's taking some pot. That's not doing it for her. Nothing's really helping her.
And then we should talk about the fact that she went off to see this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so let's get into this. So Born Free, for those of you who don't know, we'll give you a little context. Huge in the 60s.
So she went off to, after all this happened, she went off to take herself to see a movie, and the movie was Born Free, which for anyone that doesn't know what Born Free, it was a classic, probably favorite children's film of the 60s, based on a real story by George and Joy Adamson, who were probably one of the first environmentalists
in Africa. And they did go out to Africa.
Yeah, they really went to Africa, and they basically were the first people. They basically they raised this lion cub called Elsa, and then they introduced her back into the wild, which had never been done before. Right. So basically,
the film kind of chronicles that.
So the parallels are obvious here. Yeah. That you know, we have a little lion cub that is not used to the wild.
Is the line she says, what is that? Oh, she's never going to make it out there.
Never going to make it on her own. So, you know, this is where we get this whole Peggy thing of like, she's relating to this little lion cub because Elsa has to face the wild.
Exactly.
Now.
She's out there in the jungle, the Sahara,
I feel like that reference is really, to me, it makes a lot of sense, especially when he goes in to move on her by grabbing her leg.
Yeah.
And that move up with the sound effect was a nice touch. Yeah. But you see her immediately stop and then try to change roles because she's still trying to fight for that level of control that she's trying to have in the office, but she's trying to keep it in a movie theater.
Yeah. Like, yes. And therefore that's not the only thing Born Free. She's setting something. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I wish I had that sound effect of him climaxing.
Yeah. Yeah, the sound effects of him climaxing.
You
just
need the spring
one.
That goes boing.
Yeah. Like,
but I thought the – and then the ending, just real quick, I know we'll talk about it when we talk the Don and Megan thing, but at the end there when Don's in the room after he's been called out by Cooper, they see the – just the look. I mean, Peggy going one
that
way.
That is the best.
And then the team going the other. It's like, man.
One thing I can say about this season is this season has had the best camera work, especially towards the end of the show. There was always some kind – of composition
visual,
with the actors and the movement of the cameras just right.
Really
last week it was with Pete and his dolly in the driver's ed room where you showed his loneliness and all the separation of with the camera and the younger girl. And then this week you have Dawn alone in the meeting room and you see Peggy walking alone because she's still without guidance. Essentially, Dawn has been her mentor all these seasons.
And now he's not there.
Preoccupied with his new wife and his relationship that he's trying to keep off the ground. And then you see the three grunts. I mean, I saw it as a fleet of worker ants where you had three that were like, we know what we need to do, and then the other one is just lost. So essentially,
it's like the worker bees, and then they need their.
You see this moment of where he almost wants him to realize that without a captain.
But that's what is the whole thing with the things. Everything's going off the rails because Dawn is not focused anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's what seems to be what is going to happen. You know, because Dawn is just totally not focused at all.
I wish I could remember who said this, but it was something. It was something early on. I don't know if it was this season or last season, but they said something about how. The clients don't come for us. They come for Dawn.
Yeah.
They come for
Dawn
and his ideas. And if Dawn's not there, nobody's going to come to see us.
Somebody, again, nature boards a vacuum. They're all trying to, I mean, of course, Pete's done a lot to bring that up.
Pete's done everything to try and make his own name.
The same kind of
Well, even Peggy had to say in a presentation, Dawn signed off on this.
Dawn, yeah, exactly.
Dawn
loves
this. Yeah.
And then she just stepped into Dawn's shoes and just did Dawn.
Yeah.
But. Didn't really work.
Can we talk about Ginsburg for a moment?
Yes. That's absolutely
because that's part of Peggy's Peggy's arc as well. Yeah.
I love that character. I mean, you haven't had much of it, but I love that. And then the whole thing. Go wait. Let's start with what you wanted to talk about, Phil.
No, I mean, part of the reason why I have you guys is so you guys can give me your opinion. I don't know. It's tough. In terms of what to take out of that. What really stood out to me was I haven't found someone like me. Or whatever that was.
Yeah.
And I think, that says a lot about Ginsburg. And I think it's also speaking to Peggy.
Yeah,
Peggy
I think that's what that whole thing was about.
Peggy seemed to be shocked that, he could have been born in a concentration camp, too. Like she said, she asked her boyfriend, is that even possible? Could that really happen? So by the 60s, they weren't aware of everything that was going on?
Interesting, but it's one of those things where we don't really want to know until it's like put in front of us, and then you go, oh, that's right, that might have happened. Did it really happen? Because you don't really want to think about it.
Yeah.
Well, especially at that time, because you think they're really trying to forget about that.
Yeah,
point in our history.
And it's before her time to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
she's also too focused on her job, and her life. Gosh. And so it would never occur to her that there was this human tragedy.
So it's that moment she wanted small talk, and then he said, I was born in a concentration camp.
Right.
And it's almost her way of going like, don't need that right now.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't really want to find out
that
stuff.
Then starts the whole thing about talking about Mars, and she's kind of finding that interesting. She's laughing at it and stuff. And I was just going, I'm wondering. And as it's happening, I'm going, okay, I'm trying to relate it to her storyline and everything. Did anybody have a take on that? Because they also did the whole thing about the – your conversation was private. This one isn't. And then, and then he even calls back when when Peggy overhears Ginsburg and his father,
in the office,
talking again. Like, oh, you're eavesdropping again. So they hit that twice, and I'm going, okay, what's the I didn't get the connection.
Yeah.
Anybody see that connection? The only thing I got in the office was when when she's asking him about, and he starts talking about Mars and all this stuff. I felt like. In some weird way, after the concentration camp thing, she was laughing and enjoying that when talking about Mars and all that kind of stuff. And that's where she was having a connection with somebody. Yeah. As slight as it was, as weird as it was, I felt like, because I felt in this thing, she felt alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She felt alone with her boyfriend. She felt abandoned in that room because Dawn didn't show up. And then she was totally left out because she got kicked off the team. She is alone.
Yeah.
And I think the only connection that was being made was in that room talking to Ginsburg, and he's sharing this stuff. And he's as alone as I am. Left at an orphanage at Sweden, all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And feels like an alien.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then the first thing she does is she's so freaked out, she doesn't want to be alone. Please come up, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
Don, I think maybe that's your cue.
Okay, I guess that's my cue to move on.
But no, that was just your cue.
I saw him out of the corner. He had his finger on the keyboard, ready to go.
So, but anyway, that's what I took away from it. Does that ring anything with any of you guys?
I mean, that's probably essentially the same thing. Okay. I think it helped show her loneliness.
Yeah.
Personally, I thought it was a little too long. I felt like I was trying to get more out of it than what was really there.
I think it's also just sort of interesting the way we're kind of getting more and more information about Ginsberg. Sort of, he's just been slowly.
Yeah, one of those things.
He's kind of slowly being introduced, being kind of more and more information. We're getting a little more information every time.
But
about
I really
him.
Felt her isolation, and especially in that moment afterwards, before she's talking to her boyfriend, and then when she says, "Come up, I need you."
Yeah.
That was the first time that I felt like, okay, she's really isolated here.
Mm-hmm.
So, but before we move on, I want to call out and say thank you to Will 21647, Mrs. Monique, and Johnny Hands. They've all rated and commented us, and we want to thank them for their comments.
Johnny,
we appreciate
Hales.
That. So, for those of you who haven't done so already, make sure you rate and comment us and on iTunes. What
because rate and comment, because we feel pretty lonely too without
those.
Right.
We
do
be
this
isolated.
For you. We do this for you guys.
That's how we know people are listening.
That's right.
So
and
we want to thank them.
And so, in return, you know, we really love to see those ratings and comments on iTunes. It means the world to us.
Yeah.
It's we don't ask you guys to do a lot. We do a lot here for you guys at no cost to you, at huge cost to us.
That's right.
But not to make you guys feel guilty or anything.
No, but if it works. but give us a rate and a comment. That helps us. Keeps the doors open, the lights on, and it lets us know what you're thinking and what you guys are into and what you like, what you appreciate, so we can make sure that we're serving our audience as best we can.
And speaking of, you also got to, so that you don't feel lonely, we don't feel lonely, you got to tell a friend.
Yes.
That's really, you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to build the community here. Yeah. Community doesn't consist of one person.
Guys, the facts that we give to you, don't sell them at work like they're your ideas. You need to tell friends, hey, yeah, I listened to this.
This is what I think.
Yeah.
Josh came up with a great one the other day. And you should have seen what Catherine was wearing on the LSD program. All right. Let's speaking of LSD, let's move on to Roger and Jane because
speak of LSD.
Oh my God!
I just love that can be a segue in this conversation.
Yeah, well, it's the best we can do. Yeah. But I love that they show the upcoming and you see Roger saying shut up to Jane. It's like, oh my God, that's a horrible thing.
Don't just stop talking.
Yeah, sorry. But then when they got to this thing, I mean, I swear to God, that looked like it was out of a Woody Allen movie.
What about what she was wearing for a start?
Oh yeah, that's right. You went crazy on that thing.
That was,
man.
Like, well, you didn't. You were going. You
I didn't,
didn't
even
recognize
her. I was like, who the hell is that? I didn't recognize her. I honestly didn't.
It was such a bizarre that also, '60s costume.
And
I'll
that
tell
also
you.
Helped too with the. I mean, my whole idea of him being the trophy husband in that dinner,
yeah.
I mean, essentially she's dressed up like a 60s Cleopatra.
That's what I'm thinking.
And he's
thinking.
Just
very
kind
different.
Of there like, so what are we doing tonight?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are these people?
Yeah, exactly, what do I have to do? yeah. But then they get into the party and they're all the pseudo-intellectuals around the table. They're
debating what logic and neurosis
logic
are.
Logic and neurosis. Oh. And yes, well, you know, there's no cure for it. Don't follow logic to truth. There's no cure for it.
And the old quarter-inch tape of...
Just the reel-to-reel.
The reel-to-reel orchestra music, and they're all crawling through the carpet.
And then Bess Armstrong.
Oh, that woman, just Roger from the whole beginning of the...
Yeah.
Just
oh
his
my
face.
God.
He's like...
what was it? The first shot of the guy talking about truth is neither...
Oh, I wrote that down. I wrote that down.
Truth doesn't mean it's good. It doesn't mean it's bad.
Yes. Oh, that's right.
It worked with her...
And relativism and...
Her whole discussion at dinner about neurosis.
Right.
And she said it's a myth that... tracing logic to the truth
is a cure.
Is a cure.
For neurosis. For neurosis.
Only love isn't a cure for neurosis.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like the whole. That's the kind of conversation you get into.
Did you guys know
relativism and all that kind of stuff?
Did you? I was kind of.
Thank you. Whoa. There we go. I got our LSD music.
Woo!
Nice.
My LSD dress. But I was kind of like, do I just do this?
Yeah. Thank you, Phil.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Fantastic. What a great.
So there's right, a lot of the time when Rogers smokes his whole cigarette.
What I loved about this whole scene tonight, I guess we'd heard so much about this. I mean, I've read stories about the LSD being the intellectual drug and, you know, Timothy Leary, Cary Grant was a big exponent. But what I loved about tonight is I really felt like this must have been what it was
like. Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you.
Having this snooty dinner party.
I should talk to some of my brothers. Yeah.
Would you like a drink? Exactly. You're dressed the right part. Yeah. Sit down. Have a sugar
and
cube.
And then they had a
sugar cubes all lined up.
Lined up on a
little
tray. Silver tray.
Yeah. I mean, my God, it was so amazing.
But in that, you see you see the difference there.
And what about the little note that Roger had? I've been on LSD. The notes they all had.
That everybody writes their own notes versus Peggy smoking a little
smoking
reefer
in the
movies.
In the movies, I like that parallel.
That's great.
And then eating ice cream in the Howard Johnson. That was like, what the? It was just a bizarre parallel going these things. But the tray coming out, and then, oh man, the trip. That was a very long, strange trip, but it was a great LSD scene.
Oh, I know. And I'd have to say, Roger, I'd love to do LSD with Roger Stone. I was going to do LSD.
He was just so good. The cab comes off.
I'd be worried that he'd start
nonchalant.
Doing. Yeah. What car company is it? A Cadillac that he does
and
the car
hair
commercials.
That he sees
yeah. It's Cadillac. It's Cadillac. Cadillac. Yeah. And it's great line. He tells Timothy Leary his. What does he tell Timothy Leary his?
His. What was it?
His
something
program
boring.
Sucks.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah.
But then
we have the whole sort of Don Draper. He imagines Don Draper, and Don's giving him the message about. You know, go to your wife. And then, sorry.
Said, well, I mean, and this is...
Well, tell Dr. Leary I find his product boring.
His product boring. But then you see, this, especially with the Don, with Don talking to him in the trip, it's kind of almost like a setback to Don talking to Pete last episode about saying how, you know, well, you never talk to Roger when he cheats on his wife. It's like, well, Roger's not happy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, I thought you were happy. So you have that moment of him, I guess, that clarity of he's always joked about how his wife's just kind of there. And I think this is we'll see a really nice, a great change with Roger.
Yeah,
in the
they
next
really
episode,
set, really set in somebody. Yeah. You know, and this has happened to a lot of people who've tried LSD too. It really is a mind awakening experience.
They're proposing in this episode that it's great for sorting out marital problems.
Well, yeah, and you know what's amazing? How
don't try this at home, kids.
I mean, let's put it in perspective because you know
the views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Let's put this in perspective, really, because Betty, you know, Sally's run into the kitchen with a dry cleaning bag over her head and her whole body, and all Betty has said is, my new dry cleaning better not be strewn all over the floor. So...
Well, I mean, but you got to admire that. I mean, it's in Roger's, I guess his trip, where he starts talking about how... Don's the one in his trip. Don says to Roger that she just wants to be
in the truth
with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So obviously that's in his brain. So, but that's what actually comes out finally.
Right. Yeah.
So you got. I'm going. All right. What an interesting way to choose to finally get them to say that, to admit that.
Because I thought it was interesting too that I didn't realize that they were actually at dinner with her doctor, which means she's been in therapy.
In therapy, clearly.
In therapy. Yeah. You know, trying to sort out her marital
and wanting to have an affair, but not doing it yet.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when they both wake up the following morning, Roger's awake and he knows what he wants to do, what they both feel is necessary.
Yeah.
She wakes up almost like she's been well rested and. Very happy to see him, almost wants to forget what happened.
Well, for a while, they
can make it work.
How much of this is just in his head?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it was interesting because Roger sort of spun it to suit him in many ways.
Because
he wanted,
the next morning when they're talking about it, I'm going, it really was in his head. She's not buying any of it.
No.
And then until she finally says.
Until he says the line about, did you not tell your doctor?
Yeah, exactly.
But I think as a woman, she was still hoping that he was going to fight for her.
Of course,
And say,
she wanted
I don't want it to be over.
And I thought that
you
know, the
most
heartbreaking
thing. And I think that's
what was
really heartbreaking. Because,
but the heartbreaking thing was when she said, I did like you once.
Yeah. Because when she says, you just don't like what went wrong, you just don't like me. Mm-hmm. I really sympathized with Jane in this because I thought I think so many times she's been portrayed as the kind of trophy wife that's really shallow
she wants something I think at some point she obviously really fell in love with something and really wanted that to continue.
She wants the intimacy
and I felt really bad for both of them
because
you know Roger can't get of his own way to have a real relationship and here was a moment where he could have and just decided to accept what was and move on.
Real relationship he's had in this whole show has essentially been with Don, but then also with Joan.
Yeah.
Just in the affairs.
Right. Yeah.
Just in his own affairs.
Well, that's not a relationship. Yeah. He knows that's not going to last.
That's what he's the most comfortable with. Yeah. Oh, and this, scene in the bathroom is one of the most perfect descriptors. Like, it shows just not only the age gap, but the generation gap.
And they're not even on the same page.
Because he's talking about the World Series in 1919.
Exactly.
And she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. She's not on the same trip.
It's similar in the age gap of Don's birthday when Megan sings that song and has the younger
Zuby,
band
Zuby, 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 or whatever
Zuby, Zuby, Zuby,
and
yes.
has the young band playing there
yeah.
and invites
he
all his friends
it, yes.
and it's
yeah.
it's just and not does, what he does
yeah, they don't like yeah. his
so.
But yeah they it was very evident and I love that they used the LSD thing to have all this come up because if they hadn't done that all they would do is yell and scream at each other. They would never actually have these moments of clarity, so to speak, but actually be able to converse about it. Not that they really conversed, because they only talked afterwards the next day, and they still had different ideas, different wantings,
exactly,
different goals,
desires,
all that
kind
of stuff. And I was just like, oh. And I was like, damn, I was hoping that they'd actually get back together.
Yeah. Well, that could have, that's the thing. I think that's what Jane was hoping, that it was going to introduce a new truth and intimacy.
Right.
And that basically
they would
find some ground in truth. But
I think
it did.
The only problem is the ground is a ground of divorce.
Yeah, there's nothing
that's
there.
That's all it is.
There was nothing there underneath it. Yeah. So the underpinnings weren't, the foundation had not been laid. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So therefore, what could survive on that? But I think she just wanted something.
Yes.
Because she wasn't willing to make the decision herself.
But she
thought about having an affair. She didn't have an affair. She's in a therapy. All these things that she could have done, but like you were talking about earlier, she is in the role of she's not in a power position and doesn't know how to make those proactive decisions.
And
still doesn't. And was hoping anything better than what was.
Mm-hmm.
So they think that's what the trip is all about.
And just that line about, what a terrible, it might have been the truth, but it's still an awful thing to say to someone, you don't like me, I liked you once.
Yeah. but the way he said it, it was really horrible.
Horrible.
But he didn't say it with any kind of animus.
No,
or
but it's still pretty.
It is a horrible thing to hear.
It was,
but it was an honest thing to hear.
Yeah, you hear that honesty. It's not cold or heartless. It's just
but it is.
Really,
and
that's
why
as
we were watching the thing, I wrote down was it's such an honest experience. It's sad that they had to try take LSD to get there. I don't know why they couldn't just, but they couldn't. That's just not what would have happened. So, anything else on the Roger Chain thing? Can we move on from that?
Well, you know what? If he does want to get his marriage together.
Yes, what could he do?
He should probably buy something on Amazon for her.
That would work.
That would work, right?
Was Amazon around then? But
you know what? Amazon has been around since 1919.
Yeah, that's
why he was thinking back to the year.
They used to buy things in the Amazon. Now they can buy them
on
Amazon.
What's new for Amazon? It's its affiliate. It's new affiliate at AfterBuzzTV.com.
That's right.
Yeah. So here's what you can do. When you go on at AfterBuzzTV.com, you'll sign a big
button
there.
It's when you're buying. So you guys buy stuff online, right? Because
who
wants to go to the store? Again, as Josh said it, we used to buy things in the Amazon.
Yeah, now we just
buy stuff on Amazon.
Who wants to leave their house when they're shopping?
For instance, when Don wanted to buy some jewelry for Megan, he can do it.
He can just go on Amazon.
So when you want to buy something on Amazon, come to AfterBuzzTV.com first. And then you'll see a big button for Amazon. Click on it. It'll take you to Amazon. And whatever you buy there, they'll give us a little thank you.
Guys, it's nice because it lets us know that you guys are listening to us. And it gives us a little bit more,
charge to you. And it gives us a little something, helps us keep our lights on.
Yeah.
That, and again, as you guys can see, we have this is Studio B. Studio B is looking much, much better. Mm-hmm. In fact, a couple months ago, we didn't even have Studio B.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
Studio what? And so, again...
We only had one studio. We didn't even call it Studio A. It was just the studio.
Yeah. And so, if you guys want us to do more, people have been asking, can you guys do more shows? Can you guys, go to red carpets? Can you guys, make the app? Can you guys do this and that? That costs money, guys.
Yes.
It's not out of your pocket. It's out of ours. So, John, get out that big fat wallet.
Boom.
Guys, someone's got to pay off these chairs. They're wonderful.
Yes. And anyway. So this really does help us. Again, we're not asking you to buy anything in particular.
No.
But just if you guys are buying already, make a quick stop to AfterBuzzTV.com. hit that banner.
Click by
and
Buzz.
And tell your friends.
That's what I'm saying.
It's better than typing it
click
into the
by
phone.
Buzz.
You don't want to do that.
All right. Now, speaking of Don buying Megan a piece of jewelry to make up for everything, that was a crazy – that was as weird a trip as Roger and Jane had.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? They were so not – just like Roger and Jane weren't having the same trip, Megan and Don were not having the same trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they were
exactly.
both there for totally different reasons, and Jenda's going all the way before they even left as they were there and when they came home.
Yeah.
Crazy
stuff. And then, I mean, her quote, especially when they're in the diner,
yeah.
is perfect. It, you know, he says, oh, isn't this a great place for everyone? Isn't this a great vacation
yeah.
destination?
Yeah.
She goes, it's not a destination. It's on the way to someplace else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just that line. I think that line also works with the three storylines of relationships as well. Mm-hmm. They're all in this middle phase, and each one of them seems to have this point of trying to keep it as is. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the episode, they realize Roger and Jane and Don and Megan, at least, they realize there's a change that needs to be made.
Well,
some
yeah.
kind of compromise, or in Roger and Jane's case, a divorce.
Right. But, like, and I would even say that Peggy knows that things can't stay the way they want.
She, mm-hmm.
they, she can't continue that
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
I'm going to have the more simpleton idea of the storyline, and it was the fact that, you know, she says to him, why is it okay for you to work and not me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so... ironically, you know, Don gets reprimanded for not working.
Mm.
I don't think he ever really was working. I'm not going to argue that. But ironically, Megan has always wanted to succeed and things like that.
Right.
But he, you know, Don's the one that's taking her away from that and kind of really
come home early,
it.
Come
and,
out
and
to lunch
that really,
with me.
Well,
all this
angry scene when he sort of insists on her having the sherbet.
Right.
And then she starts
she
eating it. She
like
says, well, you better
child.
Let me know when I'm your wife and when I'm working.
And I think this goes to what you were saying earlier. Again, the different ages and stuff like that. And because Don's had a lot of success.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, he doesn't seem to care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really, it's not as important.
But
to
he's
him.
Also, he's still got old fashioned ideals about marriage.
Well, clearly. And she doesn't. Yeah. So, and that's where the rub obviously
so
comes
you have
in.
That, you have that conflict of,
because Betty, let's face it, was just a wife.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's what he was used to. That
right.
thing of someone you just, the wife's at home. She looks pretty. She looks after the kids. I mean, it wasn't satisfying to him. But now he's trying to almost make Megan into that. You know, and yet he wants. You know, she is more than that.
It wasn't satisfying, but it was something familiar.
Yeah.
And especially
yeah.
with his kids and everything, I think he's still trying to figure out a way to make things familiar with Megan.
Yeah.
And so far. Ever since this season started, everything's been new and everything needs to be adjusted to fit the new relationship. And he's just not, he never seems ready to make that move in every episode so far.
Yeah.
So.
And I thought it was strange to me in the coming ups, they showed the prior scene where Megan and he were arguing and that turned into sex. And then they had this big fight. And then at the end there was, and I'm going, are they going to go down that road again? Because, you know, and part of me was thinking, is he just having this fight because he doesn't know how to connect with her without the fight?
Yeah.
Is that what this is about?
Well, I was afraid it was going to get even more physical.
That's how he and Betty used to.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm going. He's still trying, you know, and I'm glad that they didn't go down that road at the end because I'm going, well, maybe he's moving along the arc because he is trying. It seemed like he was trying to connect at the end, and for me that was that running theme that I talked about earlier and didn't go down that road but still was seeing, you know, trying to make some sort of connection with her.
But I felt like his anger was so intense too
when
he came back. I almost felt like he might have hit her.
Yeah,
that was kind of what I was fearing.
Yeah, when he first came in, it was
kind of scary.
When he first came in and found that the door was locked, you could see just the sheer relief that she was there.
Yeah.
Followed quickly by that
anger.
Why did you do that?
And that almost
blind fatherly rage of like,
and kicking the
door. Don't
down
do that.
Exactly. Yeah. But when they were arguing at the Howard Johnson's, by the way, where the heck they found
where
that Howard Johnson's?
They haven't been around Howard Johnson
ever.
Around anymore?
They found this one. I don't think that was a CG, but there are some Howard Johnson's that used to be that they're now different restaurants.
It's a great,
but they still have that iconic look and everything. They probably just found one. But the shots, by the way, when he was outside at the phone booth, look, and that angle and the music, I was that was really
good stuff. I'm curious where they found that, because the angle of the parking lot and the angle of the building, those shots, it looks like they shot it up in the air because they had a whole lot of other things they didn't want to show us.
Yeah, I think they did. And the one down looking up was another way, too. But I was going to say that the argument that they first had in the Howard Johnson's, that felt like, oh, this is a classic argument between husband and wife, they're not arguing about what they're really arguing. They're really arguing about something else. I'm going, oh, because they're arguing about nothing. Who cares? Yeah. And then it gets into, and then it finally gets down to what it's about and all that other stuff, which I thought was a great way of getting in rather than making some bogus way. But anyway, that was interesting.
You know, wasn't it also like, you know, the guy that was obviously willing to please, like Don, of like, hey, Mr. Draper, had we had more notice?
So
we were
anxious.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there was that small line that he says, you know, like, I have some bad news for you. The
kid peed in the pool.
Yeah, the kid peed
like
in the pool.
This never
and again,
happens.
It's the little things that kind of ruin, you know, things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what I took out of that, and I thought that was a nice little touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love how, like, Don's reaction to that, like, why are you telling me this?
Exactly.
Why
do
I
care? You can see when they first come in, too, it's like when the owner starts saying, oh, you know, we'll bring samples of everything.
Yeah.
And Don's kind of like, okay, that's fine, whatever. And Megan just seems to want no part of it.
Right.
She wanted.
And then how about, I like some pie. No, bring the.
Yeah, no, bring her the sherbet. She's never had it before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see that again.
Like,
no, she hasn't had it before.
Big old
bring
huge
it for
control
her.
Power play going
yeah.
on. But I had to say, they both were so childish at some point in this. They were just eating the ice cream and the other one being
you've
pissed
never had
off.
You've never had sherbet?
Sherbet?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We'll
yeah,
have to
she's,
that.
She's French-Canadian. Why should she?
But even though there's that big age difference, I mean, did you guys feel it? They were, for me, they were just, it drives me crazy when the adults are being childish like that.
Well, yeah, I know, but I sort of thought he was being more childish because, you know, why can't she not like orange sherbet?
I agree, but, it's like,
it's
okay,
like, really, you're
going to
be like this?
And then she really pushed a trigger when she said about talking
to his mom.
Oh,
yeah.
That was like really just.
Yeah,
that
I know.
Was when
like,
the rage.
But when he comes home, go away. I don't want to see you.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't want to see you, Don. It's like.
It was just childish. But I mean,
open the door.
Fun stuff. Yeah. I love that he kicked it down. I was like, where'd he go? Nice. That's me. I like doors getting kicked in.
It works.
Yeah.
Then he finally, you know, we've been teasing him that Don's not a man anymore. And.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what's more manly than the image of kicking down a door?
Yeah.
Kicking down
and
a door.
I'm going to take some heat for saying that, but, you know, it's
and chasing,
that's a manly image.
Depends on the definition, I guess.
Chasing
of a
your
man.
Wife around your apartment.
Well,
around
that's
your
what
apartment,
I,
and
well,
ending up
I don't
at your
find
knees,
that manly. I
kind
find
of
that scary.
Supplicating at her feet, you
yeah.
know.
But then, of course, at least what the vulnerable scene of like, I thought I was going to lose you. That
mm-hmm.
was
yeah.
kind of his vulnerability. Which,
yeah, and didn't
want know.
To show that, so he showed the anger instead.
Yeah. But then it kind of resolved at least
it did,
to that
at least
vulnerability.
To that.
But
it's still
like,
thinking,
it
put
I'm
him
so
in a
scared.
Weird spot because I don't think he was, I don't think he realized how much it was, because as he's driving away, he's just so pissed off he doesn't think about it. And then when he thinks about it, it's like, and then 7 hours, like driving him crazy.
But he must have taken crazy. Off for a while because it's not like he just drove up the road and came back because she had time to
oh,
kind
he drove,
of disappear.
Yeah, far enough away to...
That's
yeah.
terrible.
Yeah, it
was
terrible.
A pretty terrible thing to do to her.
All of it was terrible. I think they were both idiots in this thing. It's like, what? Really? You're going to go to... Okay. All right. But it doesn't make... It's not a good TV show if they do stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
But and then at the end there, so we Don finally gets called on his crap. That,
yeah.
And thank God Bert stepped in and said something because... Yeah. Is it anybody going to tell this guy?
Yeah, that's right.
And finally,
Bert, at this point, Bert's the only voice
the only
of authority.
Rational, yeah, exactly.
He's the only partner that Don will listen to because,
right.
let's face it, Bert
doesn't have to listen to anybody.
Bert
else.
Doesn't do a whole. He
no.
doesn't say
he's,
much,
he's,
but when
he's
he does, he's the elder who
yeah.
has the knowledge
the
to pass
he's
on
the
Don.
One got the gravitas.
The only other one that tries to keep Don in line is Lane, and Lane never does anything
no.
effective against
right.
Don.
And the great line was, "Say this is none of your business."
This is my business.
Like, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. But it was like, you know, he got called into the principal's office, and thank God somebody finally, you know, said something. Now that would be interesting to see. We'll get this to the predictions: is whether or not he's actually going to heed any of that, because I don't know how much he heard.
Yeah,
I mean, he obviously he sat down and thought about it, and he saw the thing. And,
yeah,
you know, we got all that, but he doesn't take. He doesn't take easily to that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
we'll see. We got anything else? Anybody? Anything?
Well, I was just going to add that, you know, you were saying whether
you'll
take heed. I think it's interesting that because, you know, we've been talking about Peggy not dealing with being at work and personal relationships.
Right.
It's almost like when Don was in control at work,
yeah.
you know, he didn't have a fulfilling emotional life. And
right.
now that he's trying to have
a
fulfilling
work,
emotional
this
life,
guy cannot,
he can't seem to do both.
He's a pendulum swing. The guy cannot find the middle road.
Yeah.
Let's have some balance, Don. Of course, if he did that, again, the TV show would suck. Because, so. All right. Well, if that's it, I think that will take us to our first break. So, Phil, if you would be so kind,
Take us to a break.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
And we are back. So, Catherine, you have some news for us. Well, especially, let's see. Well, let's talk about your interview with...
AfterBuzz TV News.
Right after this.
Right after this special break with Bert Cooper.
Oh, well, no, it wasn't an interview with Robert Morse. I had a chat with John Slattery.
Okay.
I was on the set of Mad Men, I think, last year, and we were talking about Robert Morse, and John Slattery was just telling me that, you know, he's hilarious to have on set because, he's such a legend, obviously.
I know, he's been around forever and done so many things and so many interesting, varied career, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How to succeed in business without really trying is obviously the big role that he's known for. Yeah. But he was saying that because Robert's obviously, you know, not in every scene, and a lot of times he's not even in the episode. And John Slattery said that he comes in regardless. Like, he's always there. Yeah. And he says he just loves the catering. So he's always there eating his lunch. And if you remember, there was a scene, I think, an episode that John Slattery actually directed. I can't remember last episode.
He did this one, I think. I think it was this one.
No, but last season. And Robert Morse had no other role other than sitting in the back eating his lunch.
Yeah.
And John Slattery said to me is that because he's always there coming in for the food and eating, we just put him in the shot.
Yeah, exactly. It's great.
Can we get you in the costume? Just sit with your lunch. We'll give you all the utensils.
And I have been there, and the food is good, by the way, I have to say. Yeah. It's very nice. Well, that's a nice little bit of news and gossip.
Yeah, that's fun.
And next week you'll hopefully be sharing an interview.
Yeah,
with
just as a little teaser, we've a lot of the Mad Men are turning up in amazing movies at the moment. You know, we've got Alison Brie coming up in The 5-Year Engagement. She's absolutely hilarious, and I've got an interview with her.
Great.
She
we'll
plays
look forward to that.
Yeah, Emily Blunt's sister in this, so we'll play that interview next week. But then also Elizabeth Moss is in another film coming up called Darling Companion with Diane Keaton, and Jay Ferguson, who plays Rizzo, is also got a major role in Zac Efron's movie as well, so we could talk a little bit about
And the interview was fun with Allison?
Oh, she's fantastic.
Oh, good.
She's
nice, good to hear.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit. Did you talk also about Community or just Mad Men?
No, we spoke a little bit about Mad Men. We spoke about her movie roles and also the fact whether she likes to do comedy or drama, because obviously she's
such adept at both.
She's a great comedian.
I loved her early interview when they first started Community, because she said how she used to do, she'd do Mad Men during the day and then go right into Community at night.
Yeah.
Just for a couple weeks straight, just trying to get all the episodes taped.
Wow.
Really great interviews.
Congratulations.
With her.
Yeah. That's terrific. All right. Well, that'll take us to our predictions.
Well, so. I've got some
stuff. Oh, whoa, whoa. We got more news.
I jumped
the gun.
Yeah. Chris Stanley, who you may know, him on the show as Henry Francis.
Yes.
He signed with APA. A talent agency.
Yeah.
Okay.
So kudos to him. You know, it's...
We'll see how that helps his career. We'll keep us posted on that. Mm-hmm.
And you guys familiar with Nerdist? I know Joshua.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Josh? Tell us about Nerdist.
Nerdist podcast. Actually, now it's Nerdist Industries, founded by comedian Chris Hardwick.
Yes.
Is known for really great interviews with stand-up comedians, sci-fi writers, comic books. Yes. Leads an interview with...
And now John Hamm.
John Hamm? He's got an interview with John Hamm now?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Right. Well, they're going bowling. John Hamm, Matthew Weiner, Rich Sommer.
He's doing a video Nerdist has been doing online. You can see them all on YouTube. They're Nerdist bowling sessions with different crews. So the Nerdist crew, which is Chris Hardwick, Jonah Ray, and Matt Myra, the host there, they have bowling contests against. So last week, I think it was Attack of the Show. They were doing that cast and crew bowling against each other. So now they're doing John Hammond, Matthew Weiner. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so look forward to that. That's going to be really, really fun, I think.
Okay. That's it. We good there?
Yes. All the AfterBuzz TV news and gossip for the week of April 22nd, 2012.
Earth Day, and which will take us to our predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Well, for me, I think Roger is going to go. It has been a mind-altering and opening experience, and I hope he's going to take on the role of the... they used to have I forgot the name, but I think it's the Cloud Man. I don't know if you've ever heard this expression. Yeah. You ever heard this
expression? Just all smiles.
Well, none of that, but they'd bring these guys in way back when they were Hollywood first starting, mm-hmm. and they'd bring them into a writer's room saying, okay, we need something, and when they were stuck, and they'd bring in and he would come up with these crazy off-the-wall ideas that made no sense, but they'd figure out how to make it work. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that he takes the role of, you know, being the guy, like he's like a guru now.
Well, in the teaser for next episode was like, I've changed.
Exactly. And then, yeah. Because you know he's really wanted to. You've seen him, you know, not liking being relegated to, you know, being pushed to the side in the emeritus role. He did not want to do that. Mm-hmm. So he's primed for something different, and then we'll see how they're going to take him. Where they're going to take him? Excuse me.
And do you think? I don't know. I mean, do you think now that Roger's freed of the relationship, Joan's freed of the relationship?
I don't think Joan's going to go there, but I think Roger's going to want to.
I'm just wondering. Yeah. Just
putting
it out
there. I'm curious how his new mindset will interact with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think Don's going to say, what the hell?
Well, I mean, that sweet teaser with Joan at the very end, pointing at the show.
Well, he has got it.
At the very end where she's like, should I shut the door?
Yeah. Well, he's the father of that child. Yeah, I mean, is that going to mean anything to him, or he really? Yeah. I don't know.
Do we think Don's going to heed the advice? Heed the warning? Well, I
think it's really interesting with Don. I still keep wondering. You know, he keeps fighting his old demons.
Yeah.
Are they going to come back, or is he really changed? I think it's going to be interesting to see what's keeps
obviously
going
be a
on.
Struggle, but I think he's going to take a more proactive role at work.
Mm-hmm. I think he has to.
He has to
because the business is just going
to
die.
Yeah, somebody's got to, and who else is going to do
and
it?
And how will that affect his marriage?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think next week you'll see him do certainly a bigger shift in work. I think they'll finally be able to wrap up this Heinz client scenario. But also the teaser with his daughter Sally, I think they'll go back to another episode with his kids. Because Sally's had a few great episodes with the grandmother with the murders
and
just those scenes. And I think we're overdue for another episode with her. And
we never even talked about the fact that they had that weird driving home from Disneyland thing.
Oh, little flashback.
That's a flashback within a flashback or something. What the hell was that?
Yeah.
So it was very odd. Very strange. All right. Yeah. Well, that seems to wrap it up for us for this week on Mad Men. This is Season 5, Episode 5, Far Away Places. On behalf of Phil Fitek.
Some say 6. I don't know. If you're one of those weird people that counts the first episode as 2.
Yeah.
All right.
But for us, it's 5.
Have mercy on your souls because that was one episode.
But on behalf of Phil Fitek, Josh Gardner, Kevin Tulich, I'm John Comerford saying thank you so much for listening. We'll see you here next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
And buy on Amazon. Through AfterBuzzTV.com, of course.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.